Support for the Exchange podcast from NHPR comes from you, our subscribers, and from Edvest and You, a loan product of the NEEF Network, a local nonprofit agency providing college student loans and student loan refinancing options. Information online at nhstudentloans.org or by calling 1-855-887-5430.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. Since March, city leaders in New Hampshire have juggled more problems than they ever likely expected. An ongoing pandemic, local economies and local budgets struggling as a result, a desire to open up society, coupled with fears that COVID-19 cases might rise, and recently a demonstration movement aimed at police brutality and broader systemic racism. Today in The Exchange, we check in with three city officials from Manchester, Nashua, and Keene. We'll find out how their cities are approaching all this and what they'd like to see change. And listeners, we welcome your questions. Our email, exchange@nhpr.org. Once again, exchange@nhpr.org. Our phone number, 1-800-892-6477. Our guests are Manchester Mayor Joyce Craig. She's a former school board member and alderwoman. Also with us, Keene Mayor George Hansel. He's served on the city's Conservation Commission, the Planning Board, and the City Council. And from Nashua, Alderwoman Shoshana Kelly. She serves on the Budget and Finance Committees and owns Kelly Creative Advertising. Mayor Craig, Mayor Hansel, Alderwoman Kelly, welcome to all of you. And Mayor Craig, I want to start with you. The governor's stay-at-home order ends today, the 15th. What's on your mind, Mayor Craig, as this day begins?
Well, you know, we're happy that today is here, but we are moving forward with caution, looking at our local data as we always do. But we certainly know after, 3 months of staying home, there is a quarantine fatigue that's in our community. So people do want to get out and do want to get back to life as we knew it to the best that we can. But we are proceeding with caution and, encouraging individuals to continue to wear masks, continue to social distance, and, encouraging those who are in a population, older population or health compromised to continue to stay home so that they are safe and healthy.
Give us an example, Mayor Craig, of what proceeding with caution looks like on the ground in terms of, you mentioned some of the requests that you're making of residents, but in terms of what's closed, what's open, half capacity, full capacity, give us a picture of what that looks like in Manchester.
Well, so right now, if you're on Elm Street for the last few weeks, there's been a lot of outdoor dining. As of end of day today, restaurants can open up at 50% capacity. And so, we expect to see more people in the downtown area, a concentrated area. And again, we want to make sure that individuals do visit our businesses, but do so in a safe and healthy manner. So make sure that they are staying 6 feet apart from each other and wearing masks whenever possible.
Alderwoman Kelly, how about you? What's on your mind as the stay-at-home order ends?
There's a lot on my mind. It's definitely been an interesting period. I can't believe how much life has changed from the day that this all came to pass in March. It's the last day of school here in Nashua, so I'm definitely thinking about what we're going to do in terms of opening up in the fall. But I think Mayor Craig said it right, where the caution is key. In Nashua, we do have a mask ordinance. We felt strongly about doing that, both on the recommendation of our Board of Health, but also because we're a border community to Massachusetts. So I think exercising caution, getting out there and, dining outdoors, that type of thing is definitely going to help us with some of that fatigue. Just realizing that the pandemic is still here. It's not going away just because we flipped a switch.
Yeah, and I want to let listeners know, you mentioned education. Tomorrow on the show, I'll do a little preview here. We're going to be talking about what we learned from remote learning and what people are thinking about for the fall. So we'll definitely talk about that tomorrow. But listeners might not know, Alderwoman Kelly, that Nashua has a mask ordinance, one of a very, very few, maybe even the only community in New Hampshire to do so. Does that end with the governor's stay-at-home order being lifted today, or does that continue?
I believe it continues. We really wanted to, because we are a border town, we're constantly in talks about what's going on in Lawrence and what's going on in Lowell and how their cases are. It's not an all the time mask ordinance. If you go into a business to get takeout, then you need to wear it. But if you're outside at an outdoor dining table, you don't have to. I know that indoor dining is opening, so we may need to make some adjustments for that. But as far as I know, it's still in place. And like I said, we may need to look at it a little bit differently as things are starting to change, as they have been this whole time, daily, almost daily it changes.
Yeah, exactly. Well, things do seem to change daily and sometimes hourly. Mayor Hansel, how about you? What are you thinking about as this stay-at-home order ends today?
Feeling optimistic. A little later today, we're actually going to do a little ceremonial ribbon cutting to kind of reopen indoor dining. If there is a silver lining that I've seen throughout this, it's been how the business owners, especially in the downtown, have really bonded together to get through this, and they've leaned on each other. And so one of the things we developed here in Keene is a Keene Safe program, which is a voluntary program businesses can take to sign up and say, we're adhering to all the CDC guidelines, all the guidance from the state of New Hampshire. We're encouraging our customers to wear masks and requiring our employees. And so we're going to do a little ribbon cutting and say, and kind of promote the program as well, and get more businesses to sign on. But it'll be sort of a way to welcome people back to downtown.
Oh, that's interesting, Mayor Hansel. So for people who, you know, you can open businesses, but will people come? You guys have this sort of special branding going on for people to know you can come to these businesses if you're worried about, you know, masks and sanitation and so forth.
Right. And the city, if you take the Keene Safe pledge, the city will send you out a little packet with all of the things that you are agreeing to. And you also get a sticker that you can put in your window so that customers coming downtown can see which businesses are doing what. And I think it'll be a nice promotion to help people feel more secure coming downtown. And hopefully it'll help the business owners out too.
Well, and Mayor Hansel, I want to ask everybody, but I'll start with you, Mayor Hansel. How do you view the news from a string of southeastern states that opened up comparatively early and are now seeing pretty severe spikes in cases, especially Texas and a couple other southern states? So how do you view that, Mayor Hansel?
It's concerning, but we have to just continue to educate people. I always say, you know, when I'm on the radio or talking to people at one of my town halls, you know, keep wearing your mask, keep practicing all these good habits that you've learned over the past several months. It's really, really important. And that's one of the reasons we've been able to keep the number of confirmed cases in Chester County so low. It's because of our good behavior. So don't give that all up now just because the stay-at-home order is being lifted.
What do you think, Mayor Craig? How do you think your city can balance the economic concerns that certainly you have after 3 months of, you know, partial or total shutdown, and the health concerns around reopening? Again, some states that reopened earlier are seeing severe spikes.
Yeah, I agree with Mayor Hansel in that it is concerning and it is challenging. In Manchester, as I mentioned, we are watching our data constantly, and we still to this date have not seen a 14-day decrease in the number of COVID positive cases, which is what the recommendation is. So we are consistently and continually, saying the message of continue to wear the mask, social distance, you know, proceed with caution, because we don't want to be in a situation where we open up everything and then we have to close things down again. And it's been a difficult or challenging balance in that, you know, for example, I'll talk about Elm Street again, where some people have suggested we open up the street for the rest of the summer. And if we do something like that, we know there'll be thousands of people down here. So we have to balance the, you know, helping businesses as best we can, which we've done in terms of allowing them to go out onto the sidewalk and into parking lots and do more than they've ever done before. And then maybe take another tiered approach of allowing them to utilize parking spaces for tables, but waiting until we see our data that proves that we are in a, you know, consistent downward trend where it is safe and healthy for us to take that next step.
Does this feel too early to you, Mayor Craig? Do you wish the governor had waited another week or two?
I do wish that there was a statement in terms of number of people gathered. So it could have increased to maybe 25 or 50, but where there's no limit, that does make me a little nervous.
You mentioned closing off the street and that there's some suggestion of that. And of course, everybody's watching what's going to happen in Hampton with the closing of Ocean Boulevard, so the sidewalks aren't so packed with people. And I've heard from businesses that are pretty excited about that. Who in your city, Mayor Craig, wants to shut down Elm Street? That seems like a very big, big deal.
It does. And so we've had great success in closing down Elm Street for Taco Tour and for other events in the city. But to do it for the entire rest of the summer would be a bit challenging. So we've got a lot of residents who live in this area, and it would cause, you know, pretty big disruption to their lives. So what we're trying to do, again, is put together sort of a tiered plan of what's safe to do in terms of expansion. Like I said, hit the sidewalk first, maybe go into parking spaces, and then eventually maybe close down Elm Street for a few weekends or, you know, a few Saturday nights as we, you know, get into a time where we know things are safe.
Wow, really interesting. And what's the conversation around this, Alderwoman Kelly, in Nashua? I know you guys have been very much focused on downtown revitalization.
Yeah, our city has really come forward to help our downtown businesses. I've been in contact with Director Cummings and Director Marchand. They, at the beginning of this, were having weekly calls with the downtown businesses to get feedback on what would help them most and how we could make sure that our downtown didn't end up being shuttered. So the plan that came up, and I know that it's been in the news a bit, was expanding outdoor dining. So we have reduced the lane in on Main Street to just one lane going each way, and have expanded the outdoor dining so that these restaurants are able to exceed their capacity because they have extra space to put tables. And it's all indications is that it's going really, really well, and people are very happy with the ability to have that expanded space. I mean, most of these restaurants are only running at maybe 40-50% capacity at most.
Yeah.
And I mean, restaurants in general, that's hard. My parents owned a restaurant as a kid. I know what that's like. You don't have big overhead. You've got a lot of staff to pay. So with our downtown being heavily restaurant, we wanted to make sure that we could help them. And as a downtown business owner, you know, a lot of my friends are downtown business owners, from the jewelry shop to the clothing shop. So we wanted to open it up and make it feel like people could come downtown Nashua, have a nice meal, go into some of our small downtown businesses. And I think if there's a silver lining in my mind, the fact that people are really starting to shift to local support and would much rather go downtown to the hardware store that you know the owner and make sure that you're supporting them through this instead of buying it online or from someplace where you don't have that connection.
You know, I wanted to ask you, Alderwoman Kelly, the same question I asked Mayor Craig. Does this feel a little too early for you to open up, or does it feel like right on time?
That's a good question. I know it's hard as leaders to make these decisions, and, you know, especially where we're just day by day, not sure what's going to change or happen. It feels a little early to me. My personal way that I'm going about things is still very cautious. We dined outdoors once so far. I'm not interested in going indoor dining. So I think it feels a little early, but let's see what happens. When all of this started, I said, you know, if it feels like we overreacted, then we did a good job.
Well, I want to invite our listeners to join us, and then I have so many more questions for the three of you. Our phone number here in the Exchange for you to join us, 1-800-892-6477. Today in the Exchange, we're talking with elected leaders from Nashua, Manchester, and Keene. We're asking how their cities have experienced the pandemic, what they're thinking about now with the stay-at-home order lifted. And a little bit later, we'll listen into some of the conversations going on in these three cities about police reform, about broader efforts to combat systemic racism. We'd love to hear from you, listeners. Our email, exchange@nhpr.org. Our phone number, 1-800-892-6477. How do you see your own city, whether it's one of these cities or not, navigating some of these very tough issues confronting us today? Where do you think your city gets it right? Where do you think your city, in your opinion, gets it wrong? Again, you can let us know. Our email, exchange@nhpr.org, and our phone number, 1-800-892-6477. Mayor Craig, a couple more questions about coronavirus. And as you know, Manchester has had some of the highest numbers of cases and continues to struggle with this, including large breakouts at several Manchester nursing homes. What efforts is the city making to pull down infection rates of this disease, recognizing that this is, you know, a statewide and national problem? But what is Manchester specifically doing, Mayor Craig, to try to, you know, bring these rates down?
Well, we opened up our emergency operations center on March 2nd. So there has been a core group working on this since we had the first positive case in the state. And so one of the biggest things that we've done is testing, having mobile test sites within the city. This week, they're adding two additional mobile test sites, one in the area of Union and Spruce Street, and another one, I believe, in the area of YWCA on Friday. And we have set up a Manchester hotline. The number is 668-1547. That operates from Monday through Friday from 9 to 3. So any resident in Manchester that has any sort of question regarding COVID-19 can call, and we can help them have a better understanding of, you know, what they should do, what their next steps should be. But having access to nurses and being out in the community with testing is pretty much, you know, I think the biggest thing that's made a difference in our local community.
So widespread testing, Mayor Craig, is it free? Anybody can just go in? You don't need to show an insurance card or pay $50 or something?
They may ask for an insurance card first, but it is free, yes.
And you don't have to present certain symptoms or be in a certain category. Anybody can walk in and get a test.
Correct.
How long does it take to get results? I'm just curious with these mobile units.
You know, it's interesting. I think it ranges between 2 to 4 days right now, but that's changed over time as well.
Have you in Manchester thought about a mandatory mask rule like Nashua, which Nashua has, from what I understand, has not had as high a caseload as Manchester?
We've talked about it, not at the board level. I know that our Board of Health discussed it at their last meeting, which was last week. We would expect something like that, a recommendation for mandatory masks to come from our Board of Health, and it has not yet. We do see in our community that many individuals are wearing masks, and we do continue to, you know, to promote that as best we can. But right now, it's a strong recommendation that individuals wear masks whenever possible.
Mayor Hansel and Keen, how much has your city felt the coronavirus on a health, in terms of health? You've already talked about the economic impacts, but what about the health impacts? How has that been in your city?
Yeah, so the numbers in Cheshire County still remain pretty low. So we've only had 60 confirmed cases in the entire county. But we are in daily contact with Cheshire Medical Center, you know, the leadership with the Dartmouth system. And we've monitored it, and we have had it impact our community. I mean, I personally know someone who unfortunately passed away from COVID-19 in one of the surrounding towns to Keene. So it's hitting us, but not probably as hard as the southeastern part of the state.
And what are city officials, Mayor Hansel, looking at in terms of when Keene State College students return, if they return?
So that's the big thing that I'm focused on. You have to realize that Keene State College students represent about 15% of our total population.
I didn't realize it was that much.
So it's a big chunk, and you can imagine increasing the size of your community by 15%, bringing people in from all over, you know, New England, and in some cases across the U.S. to go to school. So we're in close contact with the leadership at Keene State College, and we're very fortunate that President Melinda Treadwell, Keene State's president, is in charge of the entire initiative for bringing students back across the entire university system. So she's very skilled at this kind of thing, and I'm very confident that she's going to come up with a good plan for Keene and the rest of the system.
Yeah, so looking at, you know, an increase of 15% in your population, that's pretty big. And people coming in from all over the country, all over the state, including places which may have high coronavirus rates. I can imagine that's a concern for you, Mayor Hansel.
Yeah, honestly, we're on the clock, so to speak, to come up with some techniques techniques and some ways to control the off-campus activity, which is likely to happen. I'm very, very confident in Keene State's team. They're in an abundance of caution, coming up with lots and lots of things to implement on campus to keep their students, faculty, and visitors safe. But you're obviously, not every student lives on campus. We have ones that live in the community, and they also tend to engage in some kind of riskier behavior when it comes to transmission. So we're strategizing with the college, with the neighborhoods, and it's an all hands on deck moment to figure out how we can implement things that might keep our community a little safer, mitigate some of these risks in the fall.
Oh, so as you say, you know, most students after a while don't want to live on campus. They rent a house with some friends in some of the neighborhoods around campus. And you're concerned, it sounds like, Mayor Hansel, with large gatherings. Is there some kind of ordinance that you can put in place so there aren't, you know, parties of 100 people? Or
I think it's really a couple of components. One is an education piece with the landlords and bringing the landlords in who have, you know, there's been different levels of relationship with the landlords, the college, and the city in the past. But I think we're all coming together to recognize this as an issue, and hopefully through increased collaboration, that'll help quite a bit. We're also considering a social host ordinance, which would give us another tool in the toolbox to limit those large off-campus gatherings. And the social host ordinance, basically, it'll accumulate violations. If there's an accumulation of violations, could be a noise violation, could be other things, on a specific property, it seeks to hold the person hosting the party accountable. And that could also trigger a way for us to get that person, you know, have some repercussions for that person in the college judicial system as well. So we're working very closely with the college to figure this out, put as many tools on the table as possible so we're ready in the fall.
Wow. Well, Alderwoman Kelly, you mentioned already the mandatory mask rule in Nashua and how you all felt that was important given your proximity to Massachusetts. What have coronavirus rates looked like in Nashua? You don't need to give me exact numbers, but how powerful has the disease been there, Alderwoman Kelly?
Thank you. It's been interesting being a border town, and you know, to clarify, the mask ordinance came about because our Board of Health recommended that we do that. From a numbers perspective, as of Friday, we had 6 new cases and 64 active cases. I happen to have it up, so that's what I'm telling. But we're also looking at, you know, in comparison, Lawrence had 28 new cases. And they're, you know, on a border here for us. So we're constantly keeping an eye on that and making sure that we're doing a lot of the things that the other cities are doing. So increased testing is happening. Contact tracing is happening. We just extended the closure of City Hall through July 5th, and then we will open up with some restrictions. So that has been helping. Our city officials are still working, but it's been helping them sort of work through things without having to have mass crowds at, you know, our city hall.
All right. Well, coming up, we'll talk more with these three city leaders on how they're thinking about emerging from the shutdown order. And after a break, we will look at proposals to reform police departments. We'll talk about the demonstrations that these cities have seen. All that plus your questions and comments. You can give us a call at 1-800-892-6477 or send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org.
Support for the Exchange podcast from NHPR comes from you, our subscribers, and from EdvestinU, a loan product of the NEEF Network, a local nonprofit agency providing college student loans and student loan refinancing options. Information online at nhstudentloans.org or by calling 1-855-887-5430.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Canoy. Today, a tale of three cities. We're checking in with elected officials in Keene, Nashua, and Manchester. What they're facing these days in an unprecedented year for city leaders, a pandemic, economic uncertainty, and a demonstration movement aimed at systemic racism and police violence. Let's hear from you. How has your city or town been working through these issues? Where do you think your community gets it right? And where does it, in your opinion, get it wrong? What changes would you like to see in your city or town? Send us an email. It's exchange@nhpr.org. Once again, exchange@nhpr.org. Use Facebook or call in 1-800-892-6477. 1-800-892-6477. Our guests are Manchester Mayor Joyce Craig, Keene Mayor George Hansel, and Nashua Alderwoman Shoshana Kelly. And all of you, but Alderwoman Kelly, you first. The country and your cities have seen several weeks of demonstrations, vigils, protests aimed at police actions towards Black residents specifically, and more broadly, people are calling for an honest look at racism in our state, in our country. Where would you say, this is a very broad question, but Alderwoman Kelly, you first, where would you say this stands now for you and your city?
Where it stands. Oh,
yeah. That's a big one, I know.
So I grew up in New Hampshire. I grew up in the Lakes region, and I distinctly remember senior year, someone saying in my AP English class that racism just doesn't happen here in New Hampshire. And I remember vividly feeling very strongly that that was not the case in my experience. So I think that the ongoing protests are you know, their police brutality, Black Lives Matter, all those things, but then all rolled up in that is just this emotional frustration of the fact that we've been talking about it a long time, but the changes really haven't happened. That you know, people of color are still treated differently in so many ways, whether that is systemic and it's housing and job and all of those things related to not being able to move up in the world, or that day-to-day consistent reminder of when you walk in somewhere that you are a person of color and you're treated differently than other people. We don't have the numbers here in New Hampshire, so I think some of that I want to think is just blissful ignorance. Nashua is the most, it is the most diverse city in New Hampshire, and you know, I'm so proud of that as a person of color, and I'm proud that my children are growing up in classrooms where they see people who look like them. I didn't have that experience. I think the protests are a way of saying enough is enough. And I think that my city in particular did an incredible job with the vigil last week. We had over 1,500 people come. It was, everyone was wearing masks. It was very peaceful. There was no trouble to be had. And I think that the message was really strong in that we need change. We're tired. We've had enough. We need change, and we need to have the open and honest conversations that will give us that change.
And Alderwoman Kelly, you wrote an eloquent editorial a week or so ago that I saw in the Union Leader. It may have been published elsewhere as well, where you just said, as a Black woman, you are just exhausted sometimes. And I wonder how these demonstrations feel to you. Do they sort of fuel you and you say, thank goodness we're focusing on this, we're being honest here in New Hampshire, or why am I still here? Why are we still talking about these issues?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think I feel excited in the moment that people are starting to see that this is the case, and that the, you know, that the fuel has really been, or the fire has really been fueled in the last 4 years. And so I'm excited to feel like I have the support and people are actually looking at this. However, I am concerned, and I said this in my remarks, that this is just a blip, that we're gonna get excited for a couple of weeks, we're gonna have all these demonstrations, and then we're gonna go on with our lives, because that has been historically what's happened, right? We've come out for different causes, we do a protest, and not to say that protests don't work, because they do, and the pressure that we've been putting on has absolutely helped. In the way that George Floyd case has been looked at, and also what we're doing from a police perspective, how are we having those conversations? But I think I want to say strongly that we need to continue to do the work, and we need to show up day in and day out, because this is something that's been in place for hundreds of years, and we're not going to change it overnight.
Well, and I want to ask our other guests a similar question about police, but to you first, Alderwoman Kelly, what conversations are leaders in Nashua having with the police department right now about changing tactics, changing training, and so forth?
That's a great question. So in Nashua, we have had a project in place since 2014. Both the head of the NAACP, Gloria Timmons, and Alderwoman Harriet Gathright have been working with the police department directly with a monthly conversation. They sit down, they have conversations about things that are going on tactic-wise, de-escalation training, what are they doing? I think that project has been very successful and will continue, and we're inviting as many people into that as possible, because I think that's how things change. I personally had over an hour-long conversation with our chief just last week, and we talked through everything from what is our number of Black officers, what are our de-escalation protocols, and you know, they sounded very strong in terms of the way that they do that. He invited us to come in and see what that's like. We talked about cultural sensitivities and if they do any cultural sensitivity training, which they do, because one culture's way of approaching something, like for example eye contact, may be very different in one culture, and you don't look someone in the eye, and then here in the United States, that might come off as being insubordinate. So things like that are really, I lived abroad for a year when I was in high school. And so I understand that the intricacies of culture can really make a difference. And so as the most diverse city, we need to constantly be having those conversations and making sure that not only do our police understand that, but you know, the broader community.
Well, and a little bit later this week, we will be looking more specifically at police and that conversation and reforms. Mayor Hansel, what are the proposals on the table in Keene? I read something about an idea floated there to create a Department of Safety, which is, you know, more broadly focused, not just on law enforcement, but also medical issues and mental health issues. So what's the conversation in Keene around this?
Yeah, so we're really opening up this conversation, which I foresee going long into the future. Just at 6 o'clock tonight, we have a public forum around racial justice that we expect a large turnout for. It's virtual, so it's via Zoom, but it'll be open to the public. And we're lucky in Keene, we have some very relevant experts, local experts. We have a very experienced former superintendent from the Cheshire County Jail. He's a consultant now, and he focuses on nonviolent police tactics. And then also Dr. Dottie Morris at Keene State College, who's very accomplished in dealing with diversity and inclusion issues. So they're heading up an initiative, starting out with this public forum and then continuing into an ad hoc committee, which will be evaluating ideas and coming up with recommendations for how we can make our police department, our community, you know, as forward thinking in this way as possible.
How do you view, Mayor Hansel, this idea of instead of having a police department, a fire department, just having a Department of Safety that deals with these issues more holistically, perhaps?
I think it's an important idea to consider. I mean, police officers now are being asked to deal with a lot more than they used to in the past. You have substance abuse issues, mental health issues. So it makes sense to sort of look at these things objectively, again, reevaluate what we're asking our police department to do and how we're asking them to do it. So I'm open to the conversation, and I think it'll feed into the work of this committee that'll be led by experts in both policing and law enforcement, but also people who are very, very familiar with diversity and inclusion issues and racial injustice issues.
I want to remind our listeners that you can join us. Our phone number here in the exchange is 1-800-892-6477. And our email, exchange@nhpr.org. Once again, exchange@nhpr.org. Mayor Craig, what about you? That broad question that I asked Alderwoman Kelly before. How do you see your city now, in terms of, you know, 2 weeks of demonstrations, 2 weeks of conversation, where does this stand now, Mayor Craig? I know that's a very broad question.
It is, and I just want to commend Alderwoman Kelly and Mayor Hansel for what they shared. And what's exciting for me is that it seems like we are going to be making progress on this and having those open and honest conversations on racism, where they stand in our community, and where we need to go. So we did have protests in Manchester. They were peaceful protests. You know, my daughters participated in the ones in Manchester and in many throughout the community. Our youth is really engaged right now. And I really want to encourage them to continue to be active and vocal so that we learn from them and can put policies in place to address the needs and, you know, and build a brighter future. So, you know, what I've done here is I've signed on to the Obama Foundation and the My Brother's Keeper Alliance Mayor's Pledge to review the use of force policies and report the findings publicly and make those changes that are necessary. And, of course, working closely with Chief Capano of the Manchester Police Department, I've been having conversations with the youth that are involved in Black Lives Matter, as well as the NAACP, and we hope to have a public conversation this week that we'll announce soon regarding, you know, diversity and inclusion, and having that be one of many, again, working with GSOP with the youth, and then have adult conversations with adults on how we can do things better in the city of Manchester.
And for listeners, Mayor Craig, who aren't familiar with former President Obama's proposals that he has put out there, because I have heard other mayors besides you talking about this, can you just quickly remind listeners what those are all about?
So it's basically looking at the use of force policies, which our chief of police actually is putting online today so that public can look at them as well. But looking at them, reviewing them, making sure they're consistent and appropriate, and talking about them as a community, and then revising policies if we need to.
What are your local police officers, Mayor Craig, telling you about how they feel about all this? What are you hearing from them?
Well, as I mentioned, the chief of police put out a letter to our community, a very open letter. He has consistently, and the Manchester Police Department has consistently worked with our community to make sure that we are safe and feel safe here in the city, and have made a lot of changes and have done things and continue to work with our community. Over the last couple of years, we enacted body cameras for all officers. The MPD does not teach any chokehold type restraint. They do teach de-escalation. They have policies regarding officer duty to intervene and are accredited. So we've made a lot of strides, and they have for the last many years, but it's communicating that now to the community, what we do, and making sure that, you know, we're all on the same page and feel comfortable in our community. The goal is that we want everyone who lives in Manchester to feel safe, welcomed, and respected. That's from my office, the police department, the Manchester School District, Economic Development, Health Department, our city. That's what we want from a citywide perspective.
You know, Alderwoman Kelly, we've talked here in the Exchange with a lot of Black activists over the past 2 weeks. And when the question of wouldn't this situation be helped if police forces were more diverse, one activist we talked to said, look, instead of focusing on hiring more officers from diverse backgrounds, do better with the officers you have, train them more around issues of bias and conflict de-escalation. What do you think about that, Alderwoman Kelly?
Interesting. That's one of the things that I talked at length with the chief about. So I think there's a couple of issues there. So first of all, I think that it's not a bad intent to say if we had more diverse people, those experiences come then to the job. Because every time you show up at the job, what you experience is part of how you might respond or go about your day. So I think that idea makes sense. The conversation I had with Chief Kernaghan is that I think in the Black community, one of the hardest things, and we had the same thing in advertising, is recruitment because of where we are from a systemic standpoint. So from a wealth perspective, I believe we have $1 to every $99 that a white person makes, that we have not been able to gain wealth. So when you come to someone of the community, Black, and say, well, you need to have this amount of training and this amount of schooling and all this to become a police officer, because our police force is very discerning. They can go out and make $100,000 or more in the private sector. They're going to choose that. And as a overall community, I had a lot of conversations about this, where when you're a Black community member, your parents are pushing you towards those jobs that they, in their mind, think of as the wealth generators, so doctors and lawyers and those types of things. I think everybody does that, but I think to the extent that the Black community has been unable to move up in terms of wealth, it's even stronger for them.
Oh, that's interesting. So young Black Granite Staters are discouraged from joining the police force? Is that what you're saying, Alderwoman Kelly?
I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is that when you have the opportunity to grow wealth in a private sector, and we had this with advertising. I was on a diversity and inclusion committee when I was in Boston working in agencies, and we had this conversation about what types of jobs, A, are never put in front of the Black community, or B, might not be considered because of the amount, the need to want to build wealth. So when you're faced with, and I would say anyone of any community would look at it this way, when you're faced with, you can be a police officer here in Nashua, it starts at, I think the chief said 65,000, or you can take that same level of experience and go make 100,000 in the private sector. I think especially given the system and how we've had to work through it, that $100,000 job is way more tempting.
I see what you're saying. Well, we will talk more about police practices, ideas for change in your communities after a short break. I also want to ask you about housing and how you think summer might play out in your city. It will not be the same as last year for sure. So I'll be interested to hear what's going on in Manchester, Nashua, and Keene. Keep it right here. This is The Exchange on NHPR. The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today we're talking with elected leaders from Manchester, Nashua, and Keene, asking how their cities have experienced the pandemic and what conversations are going on now about police reform and broader efforts to combat systemic racism in our state. Listeners, we'd really like to hear from you. Our email, exchange@nhpr.org. Tell us how your city or town has been tackling these issues. Tell us where you think your city or town is getting it right and where it isn't. Again, our email, exchange@nhpr.org. You can comment on Facebook or you can give us a call, 1-800-892-6477. Our guests are Manchester Mayor Joyce Craig, Keene Mayor George Hansel, and Nashua Alderwoman Shoshana Kelly. One more time, our number, 1-800-892-6477. And Mayor Hansel, when we were talking earlier with Alderwoman Kelly and Mayor Craig about police, I did see a picture in the Keene Sentinel of both the city's police chief and the county sheriff walking with demonstrators in Keene. What is local law enforcement in your city saying, thinking, feeling about how they need to change?
Yeah, I was really thrilled to see both our police chief and our county sheriff and another officer down on Central Square with the protesters for one of the larger protests we had a couple weeks ago. And they were really, they had signs that just said, "We hear you," you know, and I think that's the mode that they've been in so far. A listening mode, open to new ideas and things like that. And that's going to continue. You know, listening is the first step and then action is the second step. And the police department and the sheriff's department have agreed to be very involved in this ad hoc committee that'll be working over the next several months to come up with some solutions.
Yeah, we talked earlier about that idea of a department of safety in Keene that would combine police, yeah, fire, mental health, public health. Did you want to finish something up there, Mayor Hansen?
Yeah, I mean, this is the way I look at it. We're a relatively small department, you know, 60 some odd officers. We have an opportunity here to really make some positive steps and be a leading department in the state, you know, in New England. And it's also very in line with our existing culture. So I think that, you know, with some work here, we really have an opportunity to highlight our police department as very forward-thinking, very advanced in this way. And that's what I'm hoping to see from the police department over the next several months. And I'm very confident that with the people we have there, we'll get there.
Alderwoman Kelly, I want to ask you about housing and Mayor Craig and Mayor Hansel, you too. But Alderwoman Kelly, you first. Before the pandemic, we talked a ton about housing on the exchange and specifically a lack of affordable housing. What needs to be addressed with this now, Alderwoman Kelly, and how does this issue stand in Nashua?
So I am chair of the Human Affairs Committee, and this year was our year to update our consolidated plan, which is a way that we look at what are the priorities in the city. And the number one thing was affordable housing.
Yeah, we were all talking about that beforehand. Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. The vacancy rate in Nashua is 0.1%. There's just nothing. And the city has made steps. There's definitely been multiple pieces. We had a workforce unit brought on. It's full already. What I'm thinking about now is how does it affect people in coronavirus, and what does that look like? So there was an article 2 days ago saying that it has inordinately affected people of color in terms of missing a mortgage payment or missing a rent payment. And so I feel that coming up in the near future, this housing is going to be even more exacerbated. So we need to come up with a strong plan on how do we get affordable housing? How do we get temporary housing? Our soup kitchen is building a new shelter to be able to expand their beds. Gosh, I really wish that they would stay empty. But I know that the realities of it is that this is really happening to a lot of people right now, and unemployment is high. And so we have to be prepared for that.
Wow, a rental vacancy rate of 0.1%, Alderwoman Kelly.
I believe that is everything. I think housing is in terms of being able to buy as well.
Wow. And again, we talked about this so much before the pandemic. And I'm sure a lot of city officials around the state are nodding their heads as they hear you say, yes, we were going to tackle it. Yes, we had to maybe set our attention aside for just a moment. Mayor Craig, what about you? How would you describe the housing issues right now in Manchester?
Well, it's at crisis level still. And as Alderwoman Kelly said, with COVID-19 now, it's a huge concern. And we want to make sure that, you know, people stay housed and are not evicted, for example, for non-payment. So we've put plans in place with our CDBG funds to ensure that, you know, residents can get up to 3 months of rent or 3 months of a mortgage to keep them going if they're not working, for example. But we've been continuing to have conversations about this. We have been advocating pretty loudly for the last few years that there's a need for more emergency shelter beds, more supportive housing, and more affordable housing throughout the entire state. We actually have a meeting this Thursday with DHHS to start the conversation finally about a statewide homelessness plan, which is desperately needed in the state of New Hampshire.
Well, since you mentioned homelessness, Mayor Craig, I do want to ask you about your city's policy toward homeless people. And we could, again, fill many hours of programming about this. But just remind listeners from outside the Manchester area how this has evolved in your city during the pandemic. For a while, a lot of people left the shelters. They were worried about COVID-19. They set up camps. And for a while, the city supported those camps. Is that correct?
Yes. A bit. So what happened was individuals were concerned about being in the shelter, and the shelter actually stopped taking individuals in. So they did start camping outside. And in conjunction looking at the CDC requirements, if we couldn't get people into shelter, the next thing that was recommended was to support those shelters. So the state actually stepped in and helped in terms of funding supported outdoor shelters. With bathrooms and portable sinks and food. We've been able to get services to the individuals that are living in these supported shelters as well, mental health, counseling, and trying to get individuals back into the shelter. Today, there are beds available in the shelter, and individuals are not going back in. But the support at those shelters are ending at the end of June. So individuals, the outreach workers, have been working hard with the individuals who are living outside to put a transition plan in place for them, because the most important thing is to get them into shelter, living in shelter, and then get them the services they need to get better.
So those are the tent communities that you're talking about that had supported services for a while, and that's ending at the end of June.
Correct.
I have read, mostly credit to the union leader, that interviews with homeless people living in these tent communities, and some are employed but just can't find a place to live, reflecting what you and Alderwoman Kelly said about vacancies. Many of them have said, you know, I'm not going back into the shelter. I don't like the rules, and I'm afraid of catching coronavirus.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that we've talked to the shelter about. This is all about communication. And when I've been out into the camps and talked to individuals, you know, I've heard their objections as well in terms of the cleanliness of the shelter or other things. And we need to take their feedback and implement change at the shelters. And in fact, some of those changes have happened. So it's a matter of, you know, gaining trust and making sure that we are communicating and listening to each other, because what we want to do ultimately in our community is help individuals get better. We know that living outside is not a healthy environment. We also know we're not going to be able to shelter every single person, because not everyone does want to go into a shelter. But if we can make a shelter or get supportive housing in place so people do feel comfortable living there and can get on a path to being, you know, living a healthier life and more productive life, then that's good for everybody involved. And that's our ultimate goal.
Mary Hansel, how much is Keene experiencing a housing shortage? It's pretty striking to hear about the lack of housing in Manchester and Nashua.
Yeah, the last numbers I saw, we were about 2%, maybe a little bit lower. So still pretty dramatic shortages in housing. We've really tried, and we're continuing to lean in on two main initiatives around housing that I think help hold tremendous promise. One is a unified development ordinance, which is a complete rewrite of our land use codes and regulations, which is the first time that's been done since the early 1970s. And it brings everything, a UDO brings everything into one document. So it'll be very easy to understand. And hopefully as the city grows, it'll be clear and it'll be able to provide a predictable and clear outcome for both the developers and the community. Secondly, we have an initiative to really address this missing middle neighborhood. And these are neighborhoods with older homes that really just haven't been fixed up too much. Maybe some of it has gone to student housing and, you know, maybe there aren't as many students anymore. So we have some housing stock that's just not in the best condition, but in a really great location, walkable to downtown, all of those things. And so we're coming up with a program that we've sort of called 21 in 21, and it's literally renovating houses block by block in the city. And we have the goal of doing 21 houses in 2021. And then that'll extend to 22 houses in 2022 and continue on like that. But we've brought together some really key community partners. We're very, very fortunate to have an amazing housing authority, Keene Housing, and a community action organization, Southwestern Community Services. They're just amazing. They do incredible things, really leading the nation in their work. And so we've brought together these community partners to help us do this, and also engaged some financing help from the state. And I'm really excited about this project. We're going to fix up some of these older homes with great bones, great neighborhoods, just waiting to be revealed here. And I think it holds a lot of promise for us on the housing front.
And I sympathize with the three of you, because it sounds like you were all sort of on the edge of doing big things with this, and then the pandemic hit and those efforts had to be slowed down. Last question for all of you, if I could please. And Mary Hansel, you first. What is Keene going to be like this summer? I know normally there are all sorts of festivals and concerts and road races, and Keene is a great place to be in the summer. How about this year, Mary Hansel?
Yeah, well, you hit the nail on the head when you said, you know, we were building so much momentum before this COVID stuff started. And I think a lot of it is just going to be trying to reclaim some of that momentum. And I'm really confident we will have it. If you look at the last 3 years, if you were in downtown Keene over the last 3 years, the activity was just going increasing exponentially with the number of visitors we were getting, the number of restaurants that were opening. I mean, we're on the verge of something really, really special happening here in Keene. And I'm confident we'll start to get some of that back as things start to reopen and people feel more secure. That's my goal. We maybe won't have as many big festivals and, you know, downtown block parties and all that stuff, but eventually back. I think for this year, it'll probably be happening on a smaller scale.
Well, Mayor Hansel, thank you very much for being with us today. We really appreciate it. Good luck.
Thank you.
That's That's George Hansel, mayor of Keene. And same question for you, Alderwoman Kelly. What's the feel of Nashua in the summer? Typically, I know you guys have also tried to do a lot of fun stuff, you know, downtown, summer in the city. How much of that is going to be happening this year, Alderwoman Kelly?
Yeah, so I think that the downtown expanded dining has just created a wonderful atmosphere downtown. You go down and people are out, and I think enjoying being able to get out of their homes a bit and feel, you know, fairly, you know, safe in that environment, being outside and enjoying some company. I think that the other thing that Nashua has going for it that I think is, when I moved here, I was so surprised at how much we have for outdoor space as a very large city. Mine Falls Park is full of people. There's a company that just started renting kayaks for the river. So I know that I have been getting out and hiking and doing all the things that are afforded to us as a state with such a beautiful, beautiful environment around us. And I'm looking forward to that and just adjusting my own expectations of that's what summer's going to be this year. No, we probably will not have our festival of music, and the Pride Parade has gone virtual this year. But I think we can focus on summer still being pretty incredible in the state that we live in.
Well, good luck to you too, Alderwoman Kelly. And I know you have children as well, so that's challenging in a summer where a lot of stuff is closed. Thank you very much for being with us today. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's Nashua Alderwoman Shoshana Kelly. She's an Alderwoman at Large. Mayor Craig, what about Manchester? What's summer going to be like in the Queen City this year, especially for kids?
Yeah, I mean, it's consistent with what you just heard. Smaller scale, operating with caution. I've been working closely with many of the youth-serving organizations here in the city of Manchester, the YMCA, the Boys and Girls Club, and putting together information on summer camps, summer activities with a number of city departments as well. You know, everyone is scaling back as a result of COVID-19, but it doesn't mean activities are going away. So we just want to make sure that we're doing the best we can to educate our community on what's available. I mean, one of the exciting things is that if people want to take public transportation in the city of Manchester this summer, it's free for youth, for adults.
Okay.
And so that's a good thing. You know, we still are having our farmers market, albeit a smaller scale, but that's happening. We've postponed events like the taco tour till October. But, you know, we still will have activity in the city of Manchester. It's
well,
just
Mayor
going
Craig,
to be a little smaller.
I hate to wrap you up there, but thank you also very much for being with me this morning. I really appreciate it. This is The Exchange on NHPR.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals and not those of NHPR, its Board of Trustees, or its underwriters. If you missed part of today's program, listen to The Exchange anytime at nhpr.org or subscribe to our podcast. Search Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or Stitcher for NHPR Exchange.